Welcome to Why People Believe Weird Things, where we discuss some of the reasons for weird beliefs and their costs.
Have you ever wondered about doomsday cults? The ones in which members willingly commit suicide? Members of one such cult, called Heaven's Gate, committed suicide in 1997. They were going to board a UFO that was supposedly trailing the Hale-Bopp comet as it passed by Earth. You probably think you would never allow yourself to join a group that would ask you to take your own life.
Now we ask you to consider your daily horoscope. You may have experienced something today that was eerily similar to what someone wrote for your sign. Does the astrologer have the ability to read star charts and foretell the future? Well, whether you want to believe so or not, the astrologer probably doesn't have any such ability.
However, the same thought processes used when someone decides to believe in horoscopes are involved in one's decision-making to join a doomsday cult. In the next few minutes, we will expand on this and explain why one's perception cannot always be trusted. This is Natalie Kormashoff,
Kevin Stack,
and Hannah Helfman.
One major reason why people believe in weird things is because of the dramatic appeal they have to those trying to explain something that is unknown or mysterious.
Actually, one of these appeals is just the simplicity of weird beliefs.
What do you mean? Can you give an example?
Well, take superstitions. Superstitions involve the belief that certain actions have seemingly unrelated outcomes. It's easier to continue these beliefs that you most likely learned as a child rather than question them. Even if you realize the faulty logic of most superstitions, you may still continue to follow them.
So this morning, when my alarm clock didn't go off, it wasn't because I broke a mirror last week?
Well, actually, statistics would say that those two events happening together would have no special meaning. It's all left up to probability. And there's actually something else called egocentric bias, which causes you to think that events in your own life have more significance than events in other people's lives. So the fact that you broke a mirror and then your alarm clock didn't go off is just explained by probability and really shouldn't be taken as anything more meaningful.
So really they're truly unrelated?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, along the same lines of simplicity, déjà vu is a feeling most have and believe in, even though it has a scientific explanation. It's just easier to believe in the weird explanation because of its simplicity.
So, what is the scientific explanation?
The scientific explanation is that when one walks into a room initially, they have just a quick, cursory glance around and pick up several small details, but never anything fully of the picture. Then, when you look again, you remember details from your first look, which probably seconds earlier, and just fill in the blanks to what you haven't seen yet, and you get that feeling of déjà vu.
But that's so confusing, isn't it? Just easier to assume that since it looks familiar, you have seen it before in some, I don't know, previous life, or somehow you were there before? I don't know.
Well, you have seen it before, but it's only seconds before, and really recognizing the scientific explanation is just going to always help your decision-making processes.
This kind of reminds me of another appeal of weird beliefs. Did you know that people don't want to be proven wrong when they have already been firmly established in a belief? This is called belief perseverance.
Wow, that reminds me of facilitated communication. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah, isn't that a form of communication for people with autism or other disabilities where they can't communicate verbally? I actually think they use that in my middle school. There was a kid there with severe autism who had someone with them and would always... I don't know what they did, though, exactly.
Well, in facilitated communication, a facilitator moves the autistic person's hand across a letterboard, allowing them to communicate.
Yes, and in studies in which the facilitator and the subjects were shown different things to say, what the subjects ended up typing was what the facilitator had saw, signifying that the subjects had no mental or physical input into the statements. So the practice of the method of facilitated communication was really found to be completely inaccurate.
But then why is facilitated communication still being used? I mean, why are they using it in schools and why is there a foundation for it? This doesn't make sense.
Well, the reason that facilitated communication is still being used, is that those who are practicing the method refuse to acknowledge that their beliefs have strong evidence against facilitated communication. They interpret their research and what they see every day as fact, despite the studies that have supported the argument against facilitated communication.
So, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Besides appeal, another reason for why people believe weird things is cognitive processing errors. Did you know that people often perceive a certain stimulus despite the fact that it's not actually present?
Yeah, I did hear that it's actually common for people to see what they expect rather than what actually happens.
Yeah, people see things that aren't real every single day. This has happened to all of us. I can't count the number of times I've been driving on back roads at night, and I think a tree is a person trying to cross a road. It's kind of embarrassing.
Well, yeah, that reminds me of Bigfoot sightings, how people a lot of times report that Bigfoot is walking away from them, when really any animal would go away from humans once they invade their space.
Yeah, a lot of times people see large creatures such as bear or elk, and they'll think it's a Bigfoot, especially if they're in an area that has already had several Bigfoot sightings reported.
Yeah, that also kind of sounds like something I was reading the other day, that large groups of peoples will see a UFO or something, and this is explained when, in fact, nothing was there, because just because a large group of people gather together and they're expecting to see something, all of them perceive this UFO, which isn't there, and the few people who might not actually sense it, they think that they are the only ones, and so they're just going to go along with the group, when in fact, no, there was no UFO, and none of these people actually could have seen it.
Exactly. And more on Natalie's earlier point of a believer's denial of physical evidence, a Bigfoot hoax took place many years ago, in which Ray Wallace, who managed a construction company, discovered footprints in 1958 around his construction site. In 2003, just after his death, his family revealed the truth of this discovery.
Yeah, Wallace had actually fabricated wooden feet and stomped around his own construction site, later claiming that a Bigfoot had walked through.
Yeah, and cryptozoologists, those who study animals such as Bigfoot, mermaids, and the Loch Ness Monster, tried to deny the revelation, but they really couldn't, as the family even had the footprints that Wallace had constructed. The human mind is incredibly stubborn and will try to ignore evidence that contradicts information it is most emotionally attached to.
This actually reminds me of something I read online about someone's experience with Ouija boards, that, you know, those boards that people use to try to communicate, I don't know, with the dead or with spirits or something?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, there's sites out there where you can read people's experiences, I guess, for people who believe in them. And someone had said that one time she was, like, the one skeptic out of this group of girls at a sleepover, and she, by accidentally kicked the table or did something that made a noise, and all the girls thought it was the spirit. And apparently, years later, when they were grown up, she eventually told them that, like, no, it was just her who made the noise, and none of her friends believed her. And I just, that's so weird that people would, you know, deny evidence that's so obvious.
Yeah.
And another example is homeopathic remedies, which are when people take substances that give them the symptoms of what they have, and they think that the substance will cure them of that symptom instead of causing it greater influence.
Right, and don't people believe that even though there is no evidence to back it up?
Exactly, FDA has done no research on it.
So,
does not recognize it.
I wonder why people would, I guess if they wanted to try it, but why do people continue to take something which, you know, doesn't have any information backing that it actually works?
It's just because of their emotional attachment to the belief.
Could it also be, for, like, placebo effects, you know how in medical studies they always have the placebo group, which they give them a sugar pill, and a lot of times, depending on what the nature of the study, the placebo group, the group that had is not getting the actual medication or anything, actually has an improvement in health or has some sort of change, which isn't explained by anything else other than what they call the placebo effect.
Yeah, and one reason that people believe in the placebo effect or believe that they're getting better when they are given a sugar pill is because that they have not only psychological improvements, but also physiological improvements, even though the physiological improvements are only temporary. This reminds me of my roommate who uses something called Airborne, which is supposed to prevent you from getting sick, although all Airborne really is just a spray with nothing in it, and it doesn't have any effect whatsoever, but she still uses it, and because she hasn't gotten sick this year, she believes that the Airborne is actually working for her. Another cognitive problem that humans retain in making decisions about weird beliefs is the confirmation bias. The confirmation bias is when people are automatically more likely to believe evidence that supports their beliefs and ignore or deny evidence that contradicts it.
That reminds me of horoscopes, because people read them almost every day, and you can almost always find similarities between the horoscope and your day because they're so vague.
Yeah, and another example of confirmation bias is dreams. People have dreams every night, and when they dream, they have approximately 250 dream themes. When somebody has a dream that comes true, they think that they might have predicted the future. But in fact, because we have so many dreams and so many dream themes, they completely ignore all the nights that they have dreamed and the content of their dreams has not come true.
So, to summarize what we have already discussed, there are two main categories of why people believe weird things. The first, because of the emotional appeal of such beliefs. Their simple answers, the emotional connection one has with the belief, you know, that stuff. The second, the mind is unable to distinguish evidence for and against the belief. Now, we should discuss some of the costs of weird beliefs. I mean, do you guys think there are any? I know, well, for one, is just, it costs a lot of money to believe in weird things. It can actually cost a lot of money. A lot of money is spent yearly on investigating these claims that just turn out to be false.
For instance, this man from California paid a large sum for a corpse of a Bigfoot that was discovered in Georgia just this fall.
Yeah, apparently he learned a little too late that it was highly unnecessary to pay this much amount of money because he later discovered that the corpse was a gorilla suit that was stuffed with roadkill.
Really? I mean, if that was me, I would just be really embarrassed that, you know, I paid so much money for something so gross and, like, that's all on TV. That's just embarrassing.
Yeah, he was pretty embarrassed. And another cost from the Georgia Bigfoot case was one of the men who actually sold the corpse to the man from California actually lost his job because it turned out to be a hoax. But anyway, back to embarrassment. By defending weird beliefs, one can easily become embarrassed in the realization that he or she has been defending something without having a viable argument. One example is the proponents of facilitated communication. Some of the facilitators communicated that their subjects were being sexually abused by parents. And due to the studies, it turned out that the facilitators were actually communicating this information and the subjects had no say in these statements, in which the facilitators were obviously extremely embarrassed that they had claimed something like sexual abuse that turned out to be false. Most of them had to leave the schools that they were working at, and some even left the towns they were living in.
So, I mean, did they use these facilitated, communicated examples of abuse in court?
No, they couldn't use them because it had been determined in studies that the facilitators were communicating the information and not the subjects.
Wow, that seems really interesting. But one example that I think is very important is the gradual loss of critical thinking skills that would occur over time. If people continue to believe in weird things, such as superstitions, while never questioning them, people as a whole wouldn't be able to recall how to question them. Without this ability, humankind could easily succumb to many more beliefs. And it's a very serious societal cost, because there are way too many weird beliefs out there to begin with. And really, having them all influence our decision-making processes is way too dangerous.
So, humans have emotional and cognitive assessment susceptibilities, which can cause them to believe in weird things. And these weird things can vary from extremities such as doomsday cults to not-so-extreme things such as astrology and Bigfoot sightings.
Right, and coincidences in daily life and similarities between horoscopes and one's day. We just have to remember that all of these can be explained by probability. They don't have any significance, and people just read into them more than they should be.
And to you, the listener, we advise, be wary of all claims, no matter how convincing the evidence seems. At least until you investigate them clearly and obtain all the arguments from both sides, both the believer and skeptic viewpoints.
This has been another episode of Why People Believe Weird Things, brought to you by Professor Hedwig Larsen's first year seminar. And remember that the quality of your decisions is determined by the quality of your reasoning.